Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Wamsley.
Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Wamsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, though, I would like to share with you that I awoke a new man. Yes, what an astonishing statement. You awoke a completely new man? Yes, I did. I awoke a completely new man with new goals in life, with a new lease for life, a new outlook for life. Everything was completely different. And I woke up and it was so refreshing and so unbelievable, the feeling that I felt, that I just had to sit for a second. What has come over me? Why am I so much different today than I was just one day ago? And that's what the show's about today, folks. It's about making that massive change in your life. The one that will make all the difference to change the quality of your life above and beyond anything you ever dreamed it could be. That's what we're going to talk about today. So what happened? I'll tell you what happened. I overcame my personal fears and limitations and tried to do something that I had for years wanted to try to do, but never tried. You say, well, how's that so incredible? It's everything. It is absolutely everything in life to wake up and realize that life is a journey and not a destination. That to have overcome, conquered, become good at, mastered any set of skills, no matter what they are, is simply the outcome of the true enjoyment of life, which is the journey to get there. So what am I talking about? 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago, I was at a real slump. Psychologically, I had nothing to live for. Pretty much mastered everything I've ever tried. I've accomplished every goal I've ever set for myself. And so I was sitting there goalless. Nothing to look forward to, nothing to go after. Everything that I was doing was easy. Everything was already understood and comfortable. The risk was very low. And because of that, I had no enjoyment. And for years, people had tried to buy my properties for me that I've owned for 15 years, 3 apartment complexes. For years, I had said no because it was just easier to say no. Because they were mastered. They were under control. There was a complacency there. For whatever reason it was, the answer had always been no. But one day, this guy caught me off guard. And he said, I want to buy your properties from you. And I said to the guy, I don't want to sell them. The only way I'd ever sell them is if you give me X for them. And the guy goes, no, I'm not going to give you X for them. I'll give you X minus a little bit. And I said, no, forget it. Well, 6 months later, that same guy came back to me through another broker, a different broker, and said, hey, I want to buy those properties. And I said to the second broker, I said, no, I already told the first guy no. I told this guy no. I said, the only way I'd ever sell them if you gave me X. And so the guy goes, let me get back to you. And he turned around and called me back and said, we'll give you X. Now I had a dilemma. The dilemma was I really didn't want to sell. I really didn't want to take on the work and the effort necessary to go make a change in my life. I had no real reason to sell those properties. Other than in my gut, instinctually, I knew that I had flamed out in life. That it was over. that it was time to move on. Now, there was 1,000 logical little reasons why I sold them. They're getting older. They were in position to need a complete rehab, and I really didn't want to spend the time and effort to do a complete rehab. The staff, you know, was aging. This, you know, I could go and I could nitpick 1,000 little things, none of which really mean anything. The reality is I sold them because I just wanted to shake my life up a little bit. And then when I did that and they sold, I now had to go pick out properties to do a 1031 with. Otherwise, I'm going to have to pay massive taxes. And I didn't want to go pick out properties. It meant I had to go work again. I had to effort again. I had to think logically again. I had to analyze again. I had to make decisions again. And I went through the struggle and I got it done and I got my stuff identified within the period I needed to do it. Got it done the very last day, just the way life is. And then I had to go wait until these properties were actually available to make offers on. When they became available, I made the offers. Interestingly enough, the offers came due yesterday. You had to have your offer in by yesterday. So I went out and I took a position of $7.5 million worth of real estate, and I went out and wrote an offer for $40 million worth of real estate. And truly intend on closing on that if I win the bid. And to win the bid, I offered full price with incredibly gracious terms to the seller so that I would be in front position to win the bid. I didn't try to negotiate. I didn't try to get a better deal. I didn't have the need to do that. I had the need to make a deal and accomplish the goal, because what I was buying was, for the first time ever, Class A apartments, something I had never done, something that I had always dreamed of doing, but never took the action to do. And the reality was, the second I wrote those offers, and it was only like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that, it was over. It was done. I had just spent $40 million in my brain. You understand? I spent $40 million. Now, there's a lot of lifestyles for real estate out there, a lot of guys, members that have a lot of properties, but in most cases, they don't own those properties. They are syndications. They own a piece of those deals. I actually own these. This is mine. I took $7.5 million of my money and rolled it into $40 million of assets. Now you think about that. What is that going to mean 10 years from now if I double that? If I have 100% gain like almost all the other deals we do end up having over a 10-year period of time, they have a very high rate of return. I can't quote a number. That was ridiculous of me to say that. But, you know, if that were to occur like it has occurred sometimes in the past, think what that does. And then you look forward and go, man, you're lucky. You go, no, I'm not lucky. I'm absolutely just as messed up in the head as every single one of you out there, because I would have fallen prey to not take the action also. And I sat here this morning and I was just grinning from ear to ear, you know, enjoying the fact that right after I wrote those offers last night, I started getting drunk and having a great time and partying and celebrating. And then I got up this morning and I just felt so good, and I had to figure this out. I had to figure out how to share with you what I had done and why I was feeling this massive level of exuberance that I haven't felt in years. This is something so profound, this feeling, that I've got to hopefully today get it across to you that you need to make that same move. And so today I'm going to discuss, why do we stop taking risks as we get older? That's the real question. And I've got 5 reasons that I believe will answer the question. Hopefully today, while you listen to this, you will hear the one that has got you trapped where you're at right now. And you too will make that decision to find the new exuberant lifestyle just on the other side of the life of quiet desperation. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
It's easy to see why Personal Real Estate Investor magazine named Lifestyles Unlimited the best real estate education and mentoring program in the United States. We take you by the hand and teach you how to invest in real estate. We've been doing it for 25 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they've won independent, local, state, and national Investor of the Year awards 9 of the last 9 years. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to access our free live training event schedule.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Our number here is 877-655-6755. Today we're discussing, why do people stop taking risks in life? Why do we stop growing? And, you know, what I want you to understand is that life is a journey and not a destination. And that if we're going to enjoy our life, our entire life, and not just fall off the road somewhere along the way and stick our head in the sand and live in quiet desperation, we're going to have to keep changing our dreams and elevating our expectations in life. Now, why don't we do that once we get older? Well, I've got 5 reasons. We'll start with number 1, because no one's making you do it anymore. You know, when you were a kid, you were up for just about anything, right? You were up for just about anything. You do things that were crazy because you weren't afraid of them yet, right? But most of the stuff that you did that you were afraid of, you did because your parents made you do it. I remember being afraid to go to school, to kindergarten, and my parents forcing me to go. I remember crying and not wanting to leave, not wanting to go someplace where there were strange people that, you know, I had no control over. People would pick on me because I was a little fat kid. I hated school, but my parents made me go to it. Now, I remember that when I got out of kindergarten, going into first grade, I was just as afraid. You know, you'd think you would have learned, hey, you went into kindergarten, it wasn't all that bad. But now first grade was different because we were going to go and be big people. We were going to be responsible for carrying our books and whatever else it was, our lunch money and our sack lunch. And we had to get there on a bus. And man, it was just scary as can be. And again, our parents made us do it. Thank gosh they did. You know, if they hadn't have made us do it, we wouldn't be where we are today. You go on, I remember learning to ride a bike. I remember my dad making me get on the bike. I was afraid to learn to ride the bike. I remember when he wanted to take the training wheels off. I was afraid to take the training wheels off. You see, that's the way life is. Your parents would push you through many of these issues. I remember going to high school. Boy, that was the scariest of all. I mean, the people were big. There's something about middle school to high school where the kids just, boom. They took off and grew 6, 8, 10 inches. And you walked up there to high school and the kids were big, giant adults. And you were still this little kid. I mean, it's just amazing how scary it was. I remember getting beat up the first dance that I went to, school dance, because the bullies would just pick on people. And I was too dumb to even know that you don't go up and talk to a bully, you know? I had no idea. I'd never been in a situation where the guys had gangs and cliques. I just got the snot knocked out of me. But my parents made me go back to school. I was afraid to go. I was afraid they were going to kill me. In fact, they had threatened to kill me, you know? But my parents made me go. And so you go through all this stuff. I remember going into school and saying, we got to learn algebra. I mean, you know, there's math and there was, you know, second level math, third level math, whatever you guys called it, math 2, math 3, whatever it was. Then there was algebra. But man, I remember when I went to college. I remember thinking to myself, how are you ever going to learn trigonometry, calculus, statistics? These classes were overwhelmingly difficult. I had to learn French. I can't even speak English correctly, and I had to learn another language. It was just diabolical. How could anybody be this mean to me? And again, the parents put the psychological pressure on you to go. If people out there had not made you do the things you've done in your life, you probably would not have done half of what you've done already in life. So there it is. All of a sudden, people stop making you change. Right? The second reason is fear of failure. Now, when you're young, you do all kinds of crazy things because you don't have any fears yet. You haven't been injured yet. You don't know what it means to fall down and break a leg or arm or to get cut or to get burnt. None of that means anything to you until it happens to you. And so you have very few fears in life about things. And so you're able and willing to try new things that you would never try. As an adult, you just would never try them. It's just the fear is unbelievable. But we all know that fear is an acronym for false evidence appearing real. And I have found throughout my life what happens is, and I believe it's true of everybody's life, is that your parents and society and your teachers and your educators, your advisors of all types in life, they try to scare you to death, right? I remember in every way, shape, and form, they use fear to control you. And by the time you're a grown adult, they have linked up so many links in your brain between fear and pain, action and pain, action and pain, to where you're literally afraid of almost anything by default. I remember the story of Pavlov's dogs, where, no, I'm sorry, the Pavlov's, where they fed them, they go ding. It was the other test they did where they'd take a dog and they'd put it on one side of a room where it was painted black, and if it went into the white side, they'd shock it. Then they changed it. If it was on the white side, they wouldn't get shocked, but they would get shocked on the black side. And pretty soon the dog didn't know what to do, and he just went, laid down and shook and cowered in fear. Because they didn't know what was right or wrong. There was no relevance to it because everything ended up being painful. I think that's what happens to us. I've taught so many times to the argument that people shouldn't tell their kids, don't play in the street. You'll get hit by a car. To me, that's a lie. I told my daughter, I said, look, if you play in the street, you've got to have your eyes and your ears open because cars, these very dangerous things are going to come from one of two directions. And if you're in front of a driveway, it may even be a third direction. But you've got to be aware. But you should learn to be aware, because if you do not learn to be aware, then you're never going to be able to use the street, and without the street, you can get nowhere. That is a type of sick logic that Dave Ramsey teaches on his radio show, where he says you should never have a credit. Why? Because it's risky. And so credit, the one thing that can change your life and make it incredible, it allow you to make millions of dollars. The one thing that could leverage your life, he says, don't use. Do not go in the street. You may get hit by the credit car. Wow. See, to me, that's just ignorant. An ignorant way to see the world. That you should play in the street, but learn to play in the street safely. Why? Because fear is just false evidence appearing real. And by the time you're an adult, you have been taught to have so many fears for so many things that it becomes almost impossible for you to take action. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Get total freedom in your life safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about working till you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty. Hi, I'm Steve Davis, an investor in thousands of units over the years. Now it's your turn. Del Wamsley has been my mentor for nearly 25 years, and he's taught over 100,000 people just like you the principles of financial freedom through live one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited and his national radio show. I'm excited to tell you about the real estate workshop that changed my life. The workshop gets you on the inside of what we do and what we believe and unlocks the five ways we make money in real estate. Just like your personal trainer, Lifestyles Unlimited will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Call 866-971-8970 or go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to register for the workshop that will change your life and let you stop worrying about working till you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing why I woke up a new man today. We're discussing why you, as in most of us, have stopped taking risks in life. Why we've decided to stick our head in the sand and live a life of quiet desperation. And we've already covered a couple points. We covered the fact that now there's no one pushing you to do it anymore, where before you had your parents to push you. The second one is that we're afraid of almost everything, that we've been programmed to be afraid of everything our entire lives. It's pretty much the way it is. The third reason is laziness. It's pure laziness. We just don't want to do anything. And it's interesting because people tell me I'm crazy to start businesses because businesses have people in them. And they don't want to deal with tenants. They don't want to deal with employees. They don't want to deal with the government and taxation and maintenance men and people. It's just everything is just laziness. They just don't want to do it. Well, I believe in this world that to have whatever you want in life, you have to help enough other people get what they want in life. I've said that for years. In fact, the way I normally state it is, if you help enough other people in this world get what they need or want, then you can have everything you need or want in life. And people always tell me that's not true. They say, they say it's not true because they helped somebody once and it didn't make them rich. And I say, once is not enough. You have to help hundreds of people, thousands of people. And so a guy goes and buys a rent house. He does all the work himself and he efforts through it. And he finds out that it doesn't really do him any good. Why does it not do him any good? Because more is not better. Better is better. And so when we go out and we have the wrong map of life, the wrong plan, what invariably happens is we effort and effort and effort and see no additional benefit in our lives whatsoever. Or if it is, it's not directly incremental. In other words, I do 10 times more work and get 1% better life. And everybody knows that when you have a race, the only guy that wins is number one. Two is not a winner, and three, no one remembers. That's a rap song from somebody, Nelly, I think. And you have to realize is that what really pays in life is that last 10% of effort. But if you're doing the wrong thing, even that Superman effort isn't going to get you the results. I think Vince Lombardi said it best. Practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. I think that's the real point that needs to be heard. And so if you go out there and you're practicing that which doesn't work, doing more of that which doesn't work doesn't improve your life by a significant amount. And so you become desensitized to wanting more. You begin to tell yourself that it's not worth it to go work out. It's not worth it to stay on a diet. It's not worth it to go make investments to save money and try to make good investments. It's not worth it to try to make your relationship with your spouse and your children better, because you've tried all of those things and they didn't work. And eventually, being desensitized to the point where you no longer care. That's what laziness is. Laziness is training the dog to realize no matter how often you ring the bell, there's not going to be a doggy pellet in the bowl. You know, if you put the doggy pellet in there every time you ring it, Pavlov's dog, the dog comes fighting to the bowl every time you ring the bell. But if you ring the bell and there's no doggy biscuit there, and you do that four or five times, and then you do put a doggy biscuit in, that dog becomes apathetic. My friends, you're sitting there right now living a life of quiet desperation with a family that's not functional, with a relationship with your spouse that's not functional, with a relationship with your kids that's not functional, with a job you don't like going to that's not making you rich, with investments that are doing you no good at all, if not disappearing. If all of those things or any of those things are wrong right now, it's because you're desensitized to that pain to the point where you've just given in and now you're too lazy to fix it. Lazy being desensitization. And so what I'm saying to you is you've got to go learn to do the right things, because more is not better. Better is better. Right? And so you get to the point where you run into number four. And number four is you become comfortable. Being comfortable means that you've gotten to that point in your life where you've been so desensitized that you no longer believe that more is not better, better is better. You come to the belief that only half of that is true, that more is not better. You're comfortable because the effort that you would have to put out exceeds that which you believe the return would be, because you lost one half of the statement. Better is better. What gets in the way of a good life, an okay life? What gets in the way of a great life, a good life? So as you sit out there and you go, okay, I'm comfortable, I have to ask you this question. This is the most politically incorrect question you'll ever probably hear someone say on the radio, but I'm going to say it anyway, and I'm going to say it loud and clear. I look at people out there and I see like women that weigh 300 pounds and they wear lime green polyester stretch pants. And I look at them, or I look at the guy that's sitting there that weighs 300 pounds and all of his teeth are rotted out and he's got ugly clothes on and he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And I go, when in your life, was it at age 21? Was it age 25? Was it age 18? When did you decide that you didn't care about your life? When did you become complacent? When did you decide that it was okay to not have to go after the best you could go after in life? When did you decide that? When did you decide that you're living with someone that's absolutely makes you miserable and it's okay to stay there? Did you just get up one day and go, that's it, my life's not worth it, I'm just going to go ahead and live miserably the rest of my life? Because you see, you can't get to 300 pounds from 100 pounds. You have to get to 300 pounds from 299. And you got to get to 298 before you can get to 299. You see, your entire life, you have to decide it, that it's okay to be a little bit more disgusting as a human being, a little bit more unhappy as a human being, a little bit less productive as a human being. You can't just wake up and be that unproductive, disgusting human being that you've become. You had to have worked at it. You are what you are because of what you do. If you want to change who you are, you have to change what you do. But the reason you don't change what you do is because you've become comfortable with being you. The good life has been stepped in front of by the comfortable okay life. And what's funny, guys, is that research has shown that it's even worse than that. That some people actually revel in their own misery. Take battered wives, for example. Why do they stay? Well, I'll give him one more chance. He promised me he wouldn't do it again. You know, I want to keep the kids with the father. Lady, he's an insane human being. Get away. Save your life. Save the kids. I can't. I love him. How can you love a person that beats the snot out of you every day? And they prove that these people will not get out of it. How about people that have lost their money once, twice, and three times in the stock market in their lifetime? Guy was on the radio the other day. He didn't lose it just once like I did. He lost it a second time before he finally got out. But I know people that have lost it once, twice, three times, and are still in it. How many times before you realize that you're a sick person and you're living a life of quiet desperation? It's a scary thing. But comfortable is probably the worst word in the English language. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
What would happen if you didn't show up for work tomorrow, for the next couple of days, for a week, a couple of months, a year? How long until you'd lose everything you've worked for in a fraction of the time it took to earn it? If this fear keeps you up at night, it's time to learn the strategies we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with the workshop. Go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com and find your true financial peace, like so many of our members already have. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the last segment of the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we've been discussing the fact that I woke up today a new man, and my life has just got unbelievable, unlimited grandeur ahead of it because I simply did one thing. I overcame a fear. And I went after a new, larger, more aggressive, more significant goal in life. And by doing so, the very second that you do, you reach out, you stretch, and you change instantly. Your whole world changes instantly. Because right now, whether or not I get these properties that I've gone after, I know now that I'm going to be looked at as a Class A buyer. And so whether I get this couple that I've got after for my 1031, or whether I get completely other ones, I'm not going back. I now understand the numbers and know what to look for in Class A's. I can see the upside potential, the downside potential. And because of that, or all of that is because I took and overcame the fear to go after it. The second I wrote that offer and committed with hard earnest money to spend $40 million of my money, right then and there, I realized that my life had changed. And man, it was the most incredible thing. So today, what I've been talking about is what's keeping you and everyone else from doing the same thing in their life. We've covered 4 points so far: that there's no one around to push you to do it anymore like your parents used to. You now have been trained to be afraid of failing at everything you do. What we've learned in life is that you get very little results out of a lot of hard work, so it's just not worth it. We've become comfortable with where we're at because we've become desensitized to how terrible our life really is. I mean, it's like I drink all different kinds of alcohols for enjoyment. I love, you know, good red wine, white wine. I love mixed drinks. And I like to change up just like I like to change up my menu. But man, I'll tell you what, every once in a while, I'll forget how powerful white wine is compared to mixed drinks. And I'll drink that for a whole night. And the next day, I remember what a hangover is. You know, my body goes, there it is, buddy. You forgot about that, didn't you? Oh, my gosh. And then, you know, I'll stay away from it for a while because I want to get it out of my system. But mostly because now I understand its power. But conversely, on the other side of that, until you understand that, you never really know what you're doing. You've got to take that action. And so the fifth thing, the final thing that keeps people from taking action is other people. That's right. Other people are trying to keep you from becoming successful, happy, healthy, because then they would have to compete, because then you would make them look better, or you make them look worse because you look better. And that's just not politically correct in our society anymore. It really isn't. So who are these other people? Well, let's start with society itself. There are societal norms out there, mores, that have been controlling you since you were a kid. For example, you're too young to get a job. You're too old to get that job. You're too young to be rich. You're too old to be rich. You're too dumb to do this. You're too undereducated to open your own business. Or, no, you're too overeducated to open your own business. I mean, why would you want to go to taxes, tenants, and toilets, and real estate when you're a doctoral of something? The guy the other day on Teldell, you know, was a master's in accounting. He was a CPA at a major accounting firm. He just quit, became a salesman. He became great at that. He just quit that, became a real estate owner. I mean, this is amazing. But most of us can't do that. We can't let go because society said, don't do that. Don't take that risk, right? You're the wrong age. You're the wrong race. The guy that I think is the greatest rapper of all time is a white guy, right? And you would say, there's no way a white guy could be the greatest rapper of all time. I watched a show on him. Eminem is known to be the greatest rapper of all time by even black individuals. Yeah, there's a few guys that say it can't be because of prejudice, but if you take prejudice out of it, he's the best. But if somebody would have told him, like I'm sure they did when he started, dude, you're white, what are you doing? You can't do it. Same thing is true about being president. You can't be president, you're black. You can't be president, you're a woman. Those societal norms have been out there and are out there today, telling you, your kids, what they can and can't do or be. Then you've got time. It's not the right time. You know, I look at this thing right now. I've got this whole article I'm thinking about writing or show I'll do. It's about what is a market? What does market timing really mean? And you say, well, Dale, because you sold your property at the peak of the market, you're now forced to buy into the peak of the market. Well, yes, I am. So doesn't that bother you? Go, why? It's the market. You know, people are paying the price they're paying to be in the market to buy income they can't get by not being in the market. So is it the right time? Well, if everybody else thinks it's the right time, then it's the right time. Now, when people say, no, it's not, then you change your approach. But that's not what's happening right now. I remember a young lady came to my seminar one time, and I was single at the time, and afterwards I just happened to see her at a bar, and I walked up to her to chat her. And I said, so, what'd you think of the seminar? She goes, quite interesting. I said, you think you're going to do some real estate? She said, no. I said, why not? She says, it's just not the right time. I said, who told you that? She pointed to the bartender. That's what people can do to you. It's just not the right time. Who else can tell you no? How about your family? I mean, I don't know how many times I've had people come to the two-day seminar, or the free workshop, or the case study, and I just can't do this. I'd love to do it, but I can't because my spouse won't let me do it. And I say to these people, do you understand what your spouse is saying to you? Your spouse is saying you're an idiot, and you've proved it to me multiple times that you're an idiot. And that's why you can't do it. I'm not going to let you go make a fool of yourself because you're an idiot. And so you live your life in quiet desperation. How about your advisors, your financial advisors, your religious advisors, your political advisors? Everything I've ever heard was you're going to hell or the world's going to end. That's all you ever hear from these people. No one ever tells you to go out and become credible. And that's just flat wrong. So my friends, today I wake a new man with all of life's possibilities in front of me, with unlimited new opportunity, excitement, motivation, and growth potential. And I hope tomorrow will be your day. See you later.
for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.